Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to the Voice of Yoga, Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your host, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good afternoon, Swami. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. Well, last week, we talked about the preparatory work for the union with the divine. So we spent some time on that. And then we thought we would talk today about discussing the benefits of Kriya Yoga and also covering some of the most common pitfalls, obstacles that we may encounter along the spiritual journey. I myself have heard you say many times before, Swami, the quote from Von Goethe, "None are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free." Would you mind just giving us your thoughts and insights to that particular quote?
Well, you know, like you say, I do use it a lot. And a lot of it has to do with the simple fact that there are so many pitfalls with trying to make this connection to the divine. In fact, even though there are many ways, there's really only one truth, there's only one God, there's only one number one need. And if we do not put that in its place of importance, then the term was called miss the mark, sin. And a lot of the texts, like the Bible, will make reference to things like false gods. And the Yoga Sutras addresses the same thing with what they call avidya ignorance, where we're mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. And so a lot of times when you're trying to troubleshoot or master this practice of yoga, one of the biggest things is to be able to say, you know, how do I know if I'm really connected?
Mm-hmm.
And what you know, like what we'll talk a little bit about today maybe are the benefits of this internal connection. And also, you know, like you said, there's a lot of times when we think we're being spiritual when in fact, you know, we're off point. So hopefully, you know, we'll be able to delve into some of that today.
What would be a good example of that, of somebody who believes they're being spiritual and actually, like you say, they miss the mark? What would be the first example that would come to your mind?
Well, one of the barometers that we use in determining, you know, am I connected to spirit is, am I happy? And you could be happy and not be connected, you know, hardwired to this thing called prana or the life force. And so just using being happy as the indicator isn't oftentimes, I want to say, the best barometer. It's not the best way to measure, you know, if I'm truly drawing from this life force, this indivisible unified field. Because I could be happy because things are going great in the outside world. Or I'm happy because I'm very hopeful that things mm-hmm. will go very well for me in the outside world. When in fact, the actual experience of being happy when you have literally a relationship with this void or this nothing has a very different return on it than the happy that we are when we are still drawing from a limited source of sustenance, from either particles or waves or what we call duality. So that could be one of the things a lot of times, you know, people don't want to, I want to say, make any significant changes because things are going great in the outside world. And I think that's what von Goethe was really trying, the point that he was trying to make. You know, it's kind of like who wants to jump out of a perfectly good airplane, you know, if you didn't have to. But we're born into, you know, the realms of suffering and decay, and, you know, even though it may seem like it's not so bad, you know, it is going down. It's as one of my yoga teachers, Richard Freeman, once said, it's foam on top of liquid, and it's dissolving back into the liquid. And so you want to be motivated to get off of it. You want to try and be motivated to get off of the grid. But then if you don't have a clear understanding of what it's going to look like when you are off of the grid, you know, you could literally be kind of like, I don't know, one of the analogies I always use in teaching is, you know, when you're substituting one unnecessary dependency for another unnecessary dependency, it's like changing seats on the Titanic. You know, you may have a more comfortable seat, you may have a better view, but you're still on a sinking ship. And so one of the biggest pitfalls is what they call avidya, ignorance. And, you know, still drawing from either particles or waves, matter or mind, and not really being on point with this invisible, intangible source of sustenance. But when you do finally make that connection, then the benefits do start to come alive. And I want to say almost immediately. Because now you have what we call internal support. You know, that you literally change the exchange of energy that you have with the outside world, that you're no longer drawing off of it, but you're actually giving back to it. And you're giving back without any need for return. So it is, you know, kind of like the concept of the word that they use is love, you know, human perfection, a human's ability to unconditionally give.
Without expecting a return.
Because there is really no, there is no expectation for a return. You know, that's why a lot of us, you know, we use the word love. And it's, again, it's another one of those all-encompassing words that means anything to anybody.
Right.
But when you research the word, I mean, one of the first things I remember finding out about it is that it is eternal. It always was, it always will be. So it's not something you fall in and out of like a swimming pool.
Mm.
And so again, coming back to, you know, the benefit of being connected to this secret source of sustenance is, you know, this internal support that kind of, I want to say, starts to radiate your inner environment with a sense of confidence, you know, that produces a feeling of calmness. And then, of course, it brings a tremendous amount of clarity in your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that this connection that goes through this, that you just didn't really want for anything, like you don't need to have the the newest car or the latest cell phone, or you just find that those become such trivial matters. Would that be considered as a benefit for somebody to explore this yoga?
Well, to answer your question, yeah, your priorities will change. It doesn't negate what happens in the outside world. It's not like you're going to be, anesthetized of all of our human feelings. It won't negate what's happening in the outside world, but it makes it smaller. And then also, you know, when the physics of it kicks in, it's the like attracts like, you know, that we do lose a lot of our appeal to a lot of things that we might have before had, you know, a stronger, attachment to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you definitely will, you'll still have wants. And in fact, like your whole, reality system will start to ignite. And, you know, the biggest part of your sense of well-being will be established in your needs, which will be totally prioritized. You know, so mm-hmm. now you kind of, your panel is wired because you have your most essential need in its position of importance in your reality system. So again, with this internal connection comes calmness, confidence, clarity. Then, of course, you do have a strong sense of self, which means that you will have wants. And you will have personal interests that you will pursue. And then, of course, with this internal connection comes a more expanded sense of awareness, which will tie you into what we call a sense of purpose. In yoga, the term is called dharma, our duty.
Mm-hmm.
That the universe gives us life, but it does expect us to give back at some point. And so I think a big part of the benefit of, you know, this internal connection starts to show itself, you know, as you start to mature, you know, especially as we start to get a little bit older. Because that's one of the things I really notice is that, you know, in our society today, the elders are kind of pushed off on the side, you know, and it isn't really the way that it used to be, you know, that in earlier times the young went to the elders. And even though they were physiologically deteriorated, psychologically and spiritually their vision was so broad and so fertile with universal knowledge, they called it wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now today, of course, my experience has been is that when you go to the elders, you know, their vision has not transcended the limits of their body. They're still talking about, you know, ailments in their physical body, their economic status, and they mm-hmm. don't have the sense of connectedness to this greater whole, which means that they don't have a strong sense of purpose. And then, you know, like I say, one of the benefits of having this sense of purpose, you know, is that, you know, your life has a lot more, richer meaning to it as you start to mature.
Mm-hmm. And then as we look to our elders, you know, using the example that you gave, they're not paving the way for the younger generations. You know, so as you say, like, we don't have the leadership, you know, in our immediate communities. You know, we have nobody to look up to for that kind of that spiritual connection, spiritual growth, you know, that we look to the elders for or did in the past.
Right. I mean, just look at our society today, how lopsided, how you know, you have the young people thinking that this is all there is, and you have the elders wishing they were younger. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, we're out of sync with, I want to say, the rhythms and cycles of our natural, I want to say, incarnation. You know, because we're not growing psychologically and spiritually in a positive direction. We're just chronologically aging and psychologically, spiritually remaining in these underdeveloped stages. But the benefit of internal support, you know, gives you this, I want to say, expanded sense of awareness.
I think what frightens a lot of people is the not knowing and you know, giving up the pleasures of this world. I don't think they realize that they can be spiritual and still live in the society as we know it.
Right. And again, I think though that comes back to a lot of the misconceptions that, you know, we've been handed down, have been handed down through our religious institutions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we don't really understand the pragmatic application of this internal connection. You know, because
right.
When people come here, they, you know, they kind of look at me like I have two heads, because what I'm
mm-hmm.
asking them to do is such a departure from the way we're socialized, because we're socialized to be so indulgent. Then you go to the religious communities and it's all about abstaining, which isn't really the way that it works either.
Right.
You know, but because even though, you know, you give up the things that you're using to validate yourself in the outside world, you haven't made the connection to the more reliable resource that actually starts to produce the changes, you know, the progressive cycle that you want to actually start to initiate.
Right. So we're going to pause right there for a moment and get back to that discussion, but let's take a moment to hear a word from our sponsor, Institute for Personal Development.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods, a complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Well, welcome back, everybody. And for those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Welcome back, Swami.
Welcome.
Well, to start off, I think we were discussing religious applications and so on and so forth. Can we get back on that?
Yeah, the whole thing of the concept of happiness, you know, I mean, just that there's a difference between, you know, worldly happiness, intellectual happiness, and then eternal happiness. And it's really all going to come down to, you know, what energy field do I draw from? You know, do I draw from the outside world, or do I draw from this inner, invisible, intangible world? You know, do I draw from the realms of particles? Do I draw from the realms of waves, or do I draw from the void? And there are varying degrees of this word happiness, and it's all going to depend upon, you know, whatever it is that your body desires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that our physical bodies have all the power of preservation and survival, but they have no vision and no power of discernment. So we come in with a program or patterning that our bodies look for food, we look for mother, we look for approval, for validation. And that's how you start out. And what we talked a little bit about last week was the whole thing of that we literally have to have a plan that we want to separate from this source of sustenance that we've come in with, because it's going to keep our minds small and our feelings reduced to insatiable cravings. So what we had to be taught was how to separate from something that was visible and tangible and connect to something that's invisible and intangible. And probably the biggest, I want to say, barrier to that is the realms of waves, the realms of thought,
mm-hmm.
you know, the realms of vision. Because it's very easy to get lost in the complementary unmanifested other part, the astral plane, is also dualistic, but it's not the same as the material world. But it's equally as problematic. You know, it's when you literally connect to the void or the nothing, when all of a sudden when you have nothing and it is associated with your peak experience feeling that you're happy, then something magical happens to us that we call yoga.
I was wondering if you could possibly share your experiences that you have had when you felt that connection.
Well, see, the thing about it is that once you have the connection, then it enriches everything that you do. You know, again, it's a lot of people are under this misconception that, you know, being spiritual is some sort of technique or practice. It becomes
mm-hmm.
your mode of operation. It becomes your state of being. And, you know, when you have the benefit of internal support, the first thing is like I said, your sense of well-being is totally established based on a relationship with something that is pure, powerful, and sacred and will never let you down. You know, so that gives you what we call in yoga objectivity, detachment.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you're interacting on a physical or even an astral and a physical level, that your exchange of energy is different. You're not drawing off of it. If the outside world fails you, then your sense of self doesn't unravel. You know, so it becomes a very, I want to say, powerful coping skill for dealing with real life circumstances and situations. You know, because let's look at the dynamics of, you know, an addictive response.
Mm-hmm.
You know, emotionality without the benefit of intelligence. Without this internal connection, you don't have an anchor. You don't have a stronghold. So you're kind of dangling and you're kind of out there and you're susceptible to the influences that are coming at us from all of these different angles. You know, it's one of the reasons why collectively today, I mean, we are so neurotic in our approach to life is because you know, everything that we internalize can be elevated to the position of importance that you'll respond as if you're in danger if you don't have it. The dynamics of an addiction is need that drives it. You know, on a deep psychological level, you know, a cigarette smoker needs a cigarette. A drinker needs a drink. You know, I need for her to call me. And it's not just intellectual, because you feel it in your body. Your heart's racing, your hands are sweating, and you're responding as if a saber-toothed tiger just stepped into the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when you have the benefit of internal support, you know, that you don't have those unnecessary fears.
Everything becomes smaller.
You know, you're able to be...
Say.
It becomes smaller, you're more intelligent about it, you're not anesthetized to it. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have an opinion about something. Some things will make you happy, some things will make you sad, some things, you know, will just, you'll have your normal, I want to say, human feelings, but you will not be controlled by them.
So while listening to all these benefits, I just have to say to myself, why doesn't everybody want this? Why doesn't everybody want to release their attachment, you know, to their wants and their needs and just be more intelligent about everything? And it certainly seems to me that that is what's missing in our communities and our daily lives right now, and it just boggles my mind to think that not everybody is doing this or learning this.
Right. Well, and a part of it is because this information isn't readily available. You know, like we're saying, I mean, it's not something that you can go to your religious communities and find it. You know, you can't even go to the yoga community for the most part and find this information, you know, but this is how we start. This is where we're starting now, is we're trying to get the word out. And, you know, it's like you talked last week, it's your 100 monkey theory. You know, it's trying to get people to join us, you know, to employ the strategies, to get the experience, to see the difference, and then it becomes easier for the next person.
Right, right. And at this point, I'd like to invite our listeners to certainly join us. You know, go on to the website, ipdtransform.com, and check out our online classes and be a part of this movement that we're trying to make in the world. And we do welcome anybody to also join into our radio program with questions or comments, concerns, curiosities. We would love to hear from you. Any final thoughts, Swami, before we sign off?
No, I think that'll pretty much cover it for this afternoon. And I look forward to next week's show.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much once again this week for your insights and wisdom. We appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. And I guess that's going to do it for today's program. Thank you, listeners, so much for checking us out. We do appreciate it. Again, my name is Lisa Winton, hostess of The Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. Everybody have a great day, and we will be talking to you next week. Namaste.
Namaste.